And I like TriHop. I like the ministry. I like where it's going. I like Ian that's in it. I just really like it. I liked being on the board. It was fun. It was frustrating sometimes. It was hard sometimes. But we have terms. All the board members have terms. This is a little backstory stuff. All the board members have terms. And my term was coming up. I was lucky I drew the straw that, hey, my term was coming up in December. If I was going to re-up, it was for 3 more years. That was okay. I was okay with that. Lord, a few years back, I was going to just drop off the board, and he said, don't do nothing. I've said this up front. Don't jump until I tell you to jump. Okay, great. So in December, I told the board, yep, I'm committed. 3 more years. Let's go. Let's do this. I like holding my commitments. In December, though, or in January, first week of January, I started getting this unction. Patrick, are you ready? I got more for you. You said that you want more. Oh, yeah, I do. So I started getting this feeling, this unction. It's time to get off the board. What? I sought for a good month if I should stay on the board. And all I kept hearing from the Lord was, I'm not telling you, I haven't told you to jump. Now all of a sudden, less than a week after I said, yay, he said, I'm getting you ready to jump. You asked for more. So I had my wife, who is really good, I asked her to pray about it. She knows me, and we both keep our commitments. So I thought for sure, I'll tell her, she's going to straighten me out. I'm good for 3 more years, that what I'm hearing is not what I'm hearing. But she said, well, if that's what he's saying. It's like, really? No, you're not supposed to tell me that. So we prayed about it. I had a couple other people I told, said, hey, will you pray about this? Because I'm really struggling with what I was supposed to do. Really struggling. I think he wanted me to hear his voice. Are you going to do what I'm going to ask you to do? Knowing that I liked what I was doing. I knew that I was going to get answers when we went to Azusa. Azusa was so great for me. I had set it up here right away. I got my answer, what I was supposed to do. But it was so much, I had so much joy, especially watching Mike and Linda. I even said that when we came back. Watching them, just those two as husband and wife, in the presence of all these people worshiping and loving Jesus. But I heard right away when I got down there, within the first hour, hour and a half or so, it's time to move. I got something for you. Great, what do you got for me? I got something for you. It's time to jump. I don't like disappointing people. So I knew coming back to talk to Chris and the board, it would be a disappointment. But if I did the move with him and his voice, it doesn't really matter if they're disappointed or not, because I'm not here to please them. I'm not here for their acceptance, and they know that. They knew I was following what the Lord had for me. So out of today, I'm just so uncomfortable. I have to rely on his voice. So as I'm up here, one of the things that Jeff talked is, you know, the awareness and be aware. Is I'm trying to listen to his voice. Trying to listen to where the Holy Spirit wants to go with this. Because I got some stuff. But I have to be confident in him. And I have to be confident in me. That I'm hearing what he's saying. We have to, as a body of evangel, have to rely on hearing his lead. Amen. You guys have a phenomenal leadership team, and the elders that have been here for a long time, and Jeff. Listening to the Holy Spirit's voice of where to go and what to do. I wish there's sometimes you guys could sit in the elders meeting and listen. Yeah, we play, we have fun, we joke, we might debate, but it comes down to, Holy Spirit, what do you want? What do you want? And it is so cool to watch, so really cool. So this is what I heard. I came down Friday here. I thought, okay, I got stuff. Finally, Lord, last week you gave me stuff. So I came down with my computer, sat over there, started typing things out. Nothing. It didn't fit. Nothing went on. I got a picture, closed my eyes, asked Tracy to pray, and she did. And it was great. But I closed my eyes, I got this picture of this little jellyfish jiggling, almost in a mocking thing. Like, oh my gosh. Because there was nothing there. I was about ready to call Jeff and say, you know, I have nothing. You got it, Jeff. But that's only giving him 2 days' notice. And I'm thinking maybe he's got a sermon file. He pulls a little sermon out of a file. No, he doesn't. I know that. So I closed it up. I was very, very frustrated. Getting very mad. Left early. On my way home, he started talking to me. Like, oh, crud. Said actually four things. One, he says, I got this. We heard that from Jeff last week. He's in control. He's got it. A few months ago, I was sitting over here hearing the Lord saying the same thing to me. I got this. Why are you worried about this? I got it. And he said, trust me. He said, Patrick, do you trust me? You say you do. With our lips, we say, yeah, Lord, we trust you. But how much do we really trust him? Personally, I'm not going to put a percentage on it. It's not 100%. But we have to. I don't know why I don't. I don't know why we don't. Because he gives us so much. We give him. We trust him. We have to trust him with our kids. Trust him with our, we just have to trust him. So he said, trust me. Great. Okay. I'll trust you, Lord. Then these two words, it's like, I don't understand this. He said, wing it. Wing it? For a guy who, it's not me. I don't like winging it. Just doing it. That's a wing it is something I wouldn't think of. So I knew that probably came from the Holy Spirit. Just wing it. Really? You talk, I'll fill in the blanks. Basically what he said. You talk, I'll fill in the blanks. You tell him what I'm doing. Okay, Lord, fine. Oy vey, I couldn't. It's like, this is craziness. So I went home, I closed everything. I went home, talked, and Tammy asked how to go. And she knew I wasn't happy at all. So I just started spilling out what I was hearing. We'll put it on the computer. I can't. It doesn't make any sense. It just sits there. And again, she says, well, if the Lord says wing it, wing it. We're not wing it people. So today, I asked him, why are you going to say this? Why did you say that to me, Lord? He said, because it's time for some more. Time for more, Patrick. It's time you trust me more. It's time you hear me. You open your ears and you hear me more. And that's really, so I'm kind of winging it. I did, though, I mean, you're seeing me go through my computer and read things. Yesterday, we were doing things, getting ready for camp. And I just sat down in our trailer, and I just said, Lord, you know me. I want something. Give me something. Because he knows my character. And he's not going to let us just hang out there in the wind. So last night, he started saying, just put stuff down. Key words, key phrases. Just so you know, just so you have them in your mind. I thought that was great. That he would do that. I thought it was really awesome. So he's going to be doing that. And I think he's going to be doing that to a lot of us here in this room. I really do. That if you're a prepared person and that's how you operate, he's going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. Because at some point in time, you're going to be in this building, or you're going to be walking somewhere, you're going to be at work, and he says for you to do something, you're going to have to trust that it's him. And you may not have your Bible with you. And you may not have what you want to feel prepared with you. But you're going to need that confidence, and you're going to need that trust that he's there. Back in May, I believe, Pastor's Prayer Summit happens down at the down in Cannon Beach. And I went down there. A couple days prior to that, I had a word for Amy Broody, which I thought was weird because I see Amy once a year at the Pastor's Prayer thing, never on my radar screen. And she's this associate pastor over at North Lake. She is prophetic in nature. She's the one, whenever we're doing the thing at the beach, she has some of the most amazing and awesome words for the leaders and for the people that are there. It's really, really cool. The Lord said, I have a word for Amy, as I'm mowing, of all places. So I had to listen. I knew that a person that I hadn't even thought of or think of, why he would drop her name on my heart at that time, I had to listen, be aware. Be awake, Patrick. And it had all kinds of stuff in it. And I didn't know. I knew I was going to give it to Amy. And I told her, I said, oh, she showed up. I said, oh, I'm glad you're here. She looked at me. She goes, you have a word for me, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. So she wanted me to give it right then and there. And I said, nope, I can't. A lot of you know, a lot of the people that have that prophetic bent don't even get prophetic word. They get words from the Lord, but they don't even get prophetic words. They don't get. So I thought it was weird. I felt inadequate at that point as well. Why are you telling me to tell her this? So I gave it to her one night, afternoon, and it blew me away. The Lord showed me that I can speak to you, Patrick, to her, because she needs to hear this. Now, that's pretty cool, Lord. Thanks. Because it impacted her so greatly. And that made me feel good. On a personal level, it made me feel good. It's like, cool. I can hear what he's saying at this point. And the obedience is there to give it. She was so... Anyway, it was just really, if you were there, it was just really amazing watching what the Holy Spirit was doing in her life. So that was done. We went to eat. And when we went on the beach, another girl came in by the name of Dawn Woods. Some of you might know Dawn. Another person goes in North Lake, roams in the prophetic stream pretty well, really well. I was like, so on the beach, he gave me a word for Dawn. I know Dawn personally. I went to school with her. And I was sitting in the room. Someone said, does anyone else have a word for just anything? And I wasn't going to give it. Because I felt myself saying, I'm monopolizing all this time. Somebody else has a word for her. Let someone else take care of it. Because they don't want to hear my voice again. It's like, Patrick, he's getting these words. Woo, yay. But Mark said, you got to give. I said, you know, I kind of raised my hand and I went over that. And Mark said, no, you got to, that's man speaking. When the Lord gives you a word, you have to give it. So I did. And it was, again, for me, it was like, wow, it works. It really does. What that was just giving me more confidence. Yes, it was edifying her. It was lifting her up, is what she needed to hear. And that was great because it lifted her up, but it also lifted me up. It was really funny. Amy Broody, she, for some reason, she didn't know I went here. Been here for ever. She went up to Jeff and just started hammering Jeff. Who's his pastor? You have to tell his pastor to release him to do this stuff. You have to tell, who's his pastor? Just going on and on and on and on. I'm sitting here in the background listening to this like, oh man, what did I get myself into? By saying, yes, I want more. And it was really funny just listening to her just go on and on and on. And Jeff finally said, I'm his pastor. She had no clue. None. And it was fun because Jeff said, I've already told him he can get up on the mic at any time, a couple years ago. And so it was really fun. It was funny to watch. It was really funny to watch. So about 6 weeks from after that happened, it's like the voice stopped. The Holy Spirit said, not the Holy Spirit, didn't say, it's just like, where are you? What did I do wrong? At this point, I went down to a Sean Bolts training. I've been watching his videos. Been watching Heidi Baker. Been watching all these big names. What is this thing? We've been immersed in it here at Evangel for many years. So it didn't freak me out. None of it does. It's edifying. It's what it is. So I was watching this, but it was silent. I wasn't hearing nothing. Every so often, though, it wasn't 100% nothing. Every so often, I'd hear something. You guys are part of that. I would give a word, but it was like, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? There was Katie's birthday is on June 25th, and so we went up to Mount Hood Ski Bowl to play around. And we stopped out at a place called Skyway Bar and Grill. It's great food, barbecue joint. So we're sitting there and just talking, Tammy, Katie, and I, and this young family come up. Husband, wife, knew their husband. Probably maybe a 1-2-year-old, not even two, I don't think, because she was walking around with a little binky in her mouth. It's the cutest thing in the world. If you have grandkids, bless you. I can't wait now. I'm told it's going to be a while. Anyway, this little girl just and the mom just running around, and the Lord said, I got something for them. I go, you've got to be kidding. I don't know them. I got something. You need to tell them X. Really, Lord? Tell them. I failed. I didn't. Got up. Didn't even offer to pay their meal. I went on my way. Oh. Knowing that I let myself down and the Holy Spirit down because I had the confidence that what he gave me to tell them was true. And I didn't. And that's where I started questioning. Is your silence because I'm not being obedient? Are you being silent because I'm not being obedient? And I thought it was just gone. Poof. Gone. But I started listening to man a lot of times. Not any particular man. For that 6 weeks or so, I was just, you're not qualified, Patrick. He didn't call you to do that. You're not, just all this stuff. Then on July 3rd, 2nd or 3rd, I was out at the fireworks stand working. Whatever we want to call that work. It was just kind of fun stuff, walking around trying to sell people fireworks that cost a lot of money for 15 seconds of fun. Anyway, so there's this lady walking around with her daughter, or with her son, excuse me, little guy, but old enough, probably 5. And so I was watching her, and she was just kind of going around. She was talking to Terry Hopkins a lot. And then there's some things that happened, and the Lord said, you got to go tell her something. I said, Lord, Terry's talking to her, so tell her right now. Terry can do the same thing. She walks in this stream that you're asking me to go deeper in. He said, I'm not telling her to. I'm telling you to. It wasn't very big either. Went up to her, and I said, I'm supposed to tell you something. She looked at me. A little backstory. Her son was touching things, touchy-feely. These kids, they just want to touch everything. And she was saying, stop, don't. But he got And so she finally said, if you do that again, I'm going to put all this stuff away. Well, we know as parents, if you do that, the kids are going to throw a fit, they're going to whine, they're going to be on the ground, just, you're the worst parents ever. So she started putting stuff away, and this poor little boy was starting to do that, starting to break down. But I went up to her, and I said, I need to tell you something. She looked at me, I don't know her name, I said, all the Lord wants you to know is you're a good mom. Amen. That's it. Just three words. She looked at me, and I could tell it impacted her. And I thought, wow, amazing what three words can do if it's the Holy Spirit's words. Anybody could have went up to her and said, you are a good mom. But when it comes from him, that's when they become impactful, is what I'm finding. Last week, I just told you that I was going to say, I wish Dan was here because I would have him give the word. I was over there doing computer stuff, and it was doing this jellyfish thing, nothing. The Lord said, close your computer. Close my computer. Dan got up, and he had a word that day that he was just kind of seeing all day long. And for me, it's exactly what I wanted to hear. And the word was, Dan saw pictures of John laying his head upon Jesus' bosom, upon his chest. It comes out of John 13:23, and this is out of the Passion. It said, the disciple whom Jesus dearly loved was at the right of him at the table and was leaning his head on Jesus. Some says on Jesus' bosom, some say on his chest. But the head was here. John's head was here. Dan went on to say what he sees is John's head was here hearing Jesus' heartbeat. I got out of that. He was hearing Jesus' life. His breath. His breath. Dan went on with his what he saw. When John's ears upon his Jesus' bosom, his chest, his other ears open. What Dan said is there's distractions going into that other ear to stop hearing that heartbeat, to stop hearing Jesus. That's how I got out of that. Dan just said, just plug your other ear. Lay it upon his chest and plug your ear. Now that's, wow. That's really cool because I have been distracted. So distracted. I let man come in and say things. Oh, you want to be like a Sean Bolts. Oh, you want to do Heidi Baker stuff. Oh, you want to do... That's not my heart. I want to do what Jesus says to do. I don't want to be compared to anyone else. So I sabotaged myself. Jesus didn't. He kept talking, but I sabotaged myself. But I let distractions come into play. Folks, we have to deal with our distractions. We really do. A year or two ago, I dealt with my distractions, Angry Birds, Candy Crush. Loved those games. Loved them. So 6-8 weeks ago, I put Angry Birds back on my computer. I put Candy Crush back on my computer. Oh, it was so much fun. I wish Angry Birds would crush Candy Crush. But when Dan gave that, the Lord said, you've been distracted, Patrick. Satan knows my weaknesses and distractions is one of them. And sure enough, he found that little way to squeeze in there. So after Dan gave that message, I went home and drew off my computer. It's amazing. Because once I took him off my computer, guess what? Bing, he started talking again. Started giving me dreams. At night. And I'm not a dreamer at night, you know, a God-type dreamer at night. I dream other weird, funky stuff. I'm more of a vision when I'm driving and such. And Jeff asked me when I was struggling with all this stuff, he said, well, what's your passion? Well, it's King David. No, that wasn't my passion. My passion is hearing Jesus' voice, speaking his voice when he says speak it. Do what he says. Do what he says. That night, I and the reason I'm going to go here now is because I do see it, and I was hoping the Holy Spirit would do this. I really was. But I wasn't sure. I did write it down. But it was either Monday night or Tuesday night. I had a dream, actually a bunch of dreams. And Rick and Lisa invaded every single one of my dreams. Every one of them. It was really cool. To the point of where I had to get up. And I knew at that time that this was for Rick and Lisa. Gave me a word and some dreams. And there's some symbols in the dreams that I have no clue. And a word I have no clue on. But I woke up pretty early, sat and put it down. And so I didn't know if I was going to give this publicly or not. But I am going to give it publicly, and I'll tell you why. Sorry. We'll find it. And the reason why is I told the Holy Spirit, if there's something you want me to give publicly, give me a sign. I am not ashamed to say I am a seer. I see things. I've seen things over people, and I see over Rick and Lisa now this word. And I don't know what it means, but it says bombardment. And it has numbers of 1971 down in the corner. And as I see it right now, it's like those old amusement park rides with lights that light up and everything else. And the name was called Bombardment. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But my dreams, I thought, was even more interesting. A lot of times either Rick would get a word or you would get a word, but I think this is for both of you together. Just a quick question. Are you guys praying about going somewhere where there might be a bunch of people to do something? I don't know what. No? Well, you might want to start. In the times coming up, this is what I got. In these times, it was both of you, and I feel it was both of you doing something together, not separate. Although where you're at, you'll be doing things separately, but it's still a together thing. You're working as a team. A lot of times I see people, and I have said this, that you're going to be in front of people. Large crowd. I think I said that to Chong at one point in time. You could be in front of a large crowd. You could be doing this. Well, what I saw you guys was a vision. You were in a large crowd. You were amongst the crowd. But you were part of whatever was happening. And it was a large crowd. And I saw you guys amongst them in a large crowd. You weren't on stage, but you were amongst the people. Wherever you walked, both of you, wherever you put your foot, a light would shine, and the people around you, there were people already on the ground, but the people around you would either fall or they would be getting up. I thought that was really weird. I mean, they would do one or the other. And you guys are in different parts of the crowd. You weren't right next to each other, but when you came close to each other, there were little explosions. It's like the light hit, and the light hit, and boom. There was these little bombs that kind of come, boom. And it affected the people around you. People were on the ground. People were sick. And whenever you stepped close to them, they raised up. And then when I heard the word, in the dream, I just remembered this dream. One of the dreams we are in is, we were with a group of people driving in cars out in mountain roads. You and Rick were in a red car. The rest of us were in white cars. And we were following you. We were going to a destination. But you kept stopping. Either you or Rick would get out and grab a rock or grab some dirt or grab something and put it in the back of your car. Then off we'd go again, and you'd do it again. And we were getting really, because we were stopping. We had to get somewhere. And I asked the Lord, I said, what are they doing? And he said, they're taking back ground. To wherever you're going, you're taking back the ground. So I thought that, I mean, it's like, But we were getting mad because you guys were stopping. You guys were the lead car, and you were stopping. But after that, I mean, the dream just kept going for me. It just kept going. I don't know where we ended up, but it went on and on. But you guys were taking back ground. So there's some symbolism there. I have no clue why a red car, why the rest of us in white. But it was definitely red. It was bright red. So that happened after I plugged my ear. I had to plug my ear. I have to now start accepting the gift that he has given me when he said, Patrick, I need you to walk deeper in this dream. Wherever you're at, I need you to walk deeper in this dream. Even Jeff has said, he goes, wonder what's going to happen when you give a word of knowledge to one of your customers and they call your boss and say, what is this freak doing here? It's already happened at work, but not outside of work yet. Not outside of work. In Ephesians 4, it reads, let me just pop that up. It talks about all of our gifts. Come on, computer. Read it real fast and we'll move on. Ephesians 4, I like a lot. Come on. Stupid iPads. Now I see why Jeff gets frustrated when he's up here. It says, I'm going to read probably most, not most. It said, in light of all this, and this is out of the message, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. That's another one of my distractions. Going home, sitting in a blue chair. We call it the blue chair. Turning on TV. I like baseball. Watching baseball. Watching reruns of... what do we want? Big Bang Theory. Just saying, that's just one of them. It's a distraction. I'm realizing it's a distraction. But I sit on my hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all... all means all. It really does. You're all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, walks through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that does not mean you should all look and speak and act the same. That's where I fell into a trap. Hearing this little voice over here, oh, you want to look like this person. Oh, you want to say something like this person. No, I have to say it like me. I am me. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this. He climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts, handed it all out in gifts to the people. It is not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley, the valley of earth. And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, fivefold. To train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. We've all been given these gifts. Every one of them. We're supposed to operate in these gifts for him, not for ourselves. One of the things that happened down at the prayer summit is it exposed me to some of the four apostles that have been appointed apostles in our community. And then Ian, they sat down and they said, if you're going to be walking in this stream deeper and the Lord has called you there, you have to grab hold and make sure, one, that I am surrounded by people that love me and that will correct me, is that you're doing it for him. You aren't doing it for others because it's for the whole body. It isn't for me. We have seen, and we can name names of all these big names that have fallen. And a lot of the reason why is they started doing it for themselves. Yeah. They took their eye off of him. Yeah. And that's something I don't want to do. We are all supposed to be operating in these gifts. Out of Ephesians 4, if you have a strong gift, your prominent gift is an apostle, guess what? It's time to start apostling. I mean, if that's what you've been called to, that's what it is. If your prominent gift is a prophet, guess what? It's time your voice be heard. Yes, I understand, I'm not naive. We have to follow the word that the Holy Spirit gives us. If he says chill out, then we have to chill out. But being a prophet is real important. If your prominent gift is being an evangelist, then you have to evangelize. Kevin's dad is really good at being an evangelist. There are some of you in this body that have these gifts that you have been called to, and it's time you start doing it. It's time we start doing it because we need it. Not for you. If you're called to be a pastor, then pastor. Difference between pastor and teacher, although Bibles put them together, there's a difference between them both. If you are called, your prominent gift is a teacher, then it's time to be a teacher. Holy smokes, I shouldn't be up here. That is not my prominent gift. Yeah, I might say something, and Kevin might say something. He has, I think, the gift of teaching. But you might grab a little nugget, one or two or three here, but it's not my prominent gift. If you have that gift, you need to be up here. Because that's what we need. If you have the gift to heal, that was spoken over Tammy at one point in time, then you got to heal. You got to pray for the sick. And it may not happen, but that doesn't say stop praying for the sick. If you have the gift of worship or music, then worship. Jacob, you have that gift. We see it when you play the drums, right? You have to play. You have to worship. The Lord doesn't sit back and say, like to Jacob, you are going to be a worship leader. I don't know if he says that, but let's say he says, Jacob, you're going to be a worship leader. We don't just throw him up there. Go. It takes practice. It does. I mean, you have to practice that gift. God gives you a gift. Open it up. What am I supposed to do with this thing now? Start practicing. Start playing with the gift. Not just let it sit there. I've let these things sit there. I've let them sit there. We, as a body, have let some of these gifts just sit there. But it's time to start playing with them. There's a lot of confidence in this room. We have a lot of knowledge, word knowledge, biblical knowledge. But the gifts are for the whole body. For all of us. Let's start playing with those gifts. Let's have fun with those gifts. I know it seems like I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, this was a Debbie Downer type thing. It isn't meant to be that way. Because I want to be lifted up with your guys' gifts. To operate in the gift where the Lord said, Patrick, I'm taking you deeper into this prophetic gift, I have to know how that operates. I have to be able to watch Rick, Lisa, Diane, Brenda. I have to be able to watch that and say how they've been walking in that gift for a long time. I want to see how it works. Jim has a gift that he just loves. I mean, we know Jim. To watch him, that's what I have to know. That's what the body of evangel has to know. That's what the body of Christ has to watch and witness. We have to watch it in action. And we have to really believe what he's saying and just do it. I'll close. For a year, I'm not going to go into the real specifics, but for a year or more, he said, Patrick, I'm going to give you something. A couple of you already know because I've asked you to pray about it. I don't know if it's for me personally, it's big, or for the community as a whole. And every time I see this, the Lord said, you got to proclaim that as yours. Okay, great. I can do that. That's easy because it's just me saying something. And he said, have you taken ownership of that? Of course not, because it hasn't happened. The vision that you've given me hasn't happened. And he said, I need you to sow into this, okay? I need you to go to this certain place in town and sit and proclaim it. Okay, I can do that. So for a week, I did that. And he said, have you sowed into it? I have no clue how to sow into it. He said, just make sure you have $5 with you, and every time you get up, you put $5 under a rock. Really? Lord, that's weird. I haven't done that. I failed at that. And he reminded me yesterday, as he actually allowed me to have some preparation, said, are you going to start giving $5 to the rock? Yes, I'm going to start giving $5 to the rock. I don't know what it means. It's weird. But I think he's going to call us to what we think is weird, to what he thinks is nothing. Because it's for him. That's who it's for. None of this stuff is weird to him. But it sure is to us. It can be weird. So my encouragement, body of evangel, is have fun with your gifts. Because I plan on having fun with mine. Am I going to screw up? Oh, you bet. Like I said earlier, my foot will go in my mouth more times than once. The time I say something might not be the right time, or it might be the right time. I don't know. But at least I'm trying to do what the Lord says to do. And that's for me. Lord, we thank you for this week. We pray for the fallen officers in Baton Rouge, in Dallas. Lord, we pray hedges of protection over our first responders, over our officers in this nation. That hedge of protection covering them. We pray for that for Cowlitz County as well. Many of us have friends, Lord, in the officers. Cover them, protect them, be with them. Be with their families, Lord. Be with their families. Lord, I just ask for just your angels to be dispatched all over this nation. Next week is going to be an interesting week. Lord, that you protect. Have a great week. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember church camp. It's going to be fun. Trust me.